Well, good morning. Happy Resurrection Day. This is, for the Christian faith, the most important day of the entire year. And I would be as bold to say, no matter what faith people might enjoy worshiping, this is still the most important day of the year. Because without the risen Christ, we have no hope. But praise God, because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, we have hope. God, as we come this morning, we're thankful for Resurrection Sunday. We thank you for the risen Christ that gives us hope beyond the grave. But not only that, it gives us hope here on earth too. Because of your power over sin, death, the devil, and because of the Holy Spirit that lives within us that you sent, we can live this life victoriously with your help. So Lord, I pray for these few short moments this morning that you would challenge us from your word, draw us closer to you, and might we be encouraged and uplifted from being here today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what I did this morning is I went out to the foyer. Pastor Adam and I thought it'd be a really good opportunity to share some things. If you weren't here Friday night, which is perfectly fine, we realize people have different schedules. A lot of people had to work. Some people just didn't plan to come for a lot of different reasons, and that's okay. But we had everybody fill out a card. And the cards were really awesome because on the card it said, "By faith I," and then it had a couple of lines for you to fill in. And so our whole series that we've been doing in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, we're going to finish this morning this series in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. So if you have a Bible, you want to turn there, that's fine, or grab your phone or iPad or whatever you use. And we ask people by faith, what do you believe God wants you to do? And so what I did this morning is I went out, and you may not have seen it this morning, but on the wall, all of the white cards that people filled out, they brought them forward, they dropped them in a basket. We had pastors here to pray with them if they wanted prayer. It really was quite an emotional night for those that came. It was really one of those, I don't see how that we would be able to do that kind of thing again at the same way and level that we did. It was just really good. And then we took those cards and then we put them out in the foyer on the wall. And they were supposed to be anonymous. We didn't ask people to put their names. But I wanted to share with you what some people shared about what their goal is this year by faith from what they've learned in our series. And I've got about 15 I want to read really quick, and it won't take that long. By faith, I will share my faith with 52 people this year, one a week. Isn't that awesome? That's a wonderful challenge. By faith, I choose God over my desires. By faith, I will study the Word, connect and grow with other believers, and I will follow the Lord in obedience. By faith, I will lead by example. By faith, I will follow your plan, God, and purpose for my life in the next year is to change what you want me to change. By faith, I will follow you, God, wherever you lead me. By faith, I will find my identity in Christ and stop seeking my value, my worth, my security, and my job and my finances, but my faith in you. I will keep by faith your word, which will help to encourage me, and I want to be guided by only Jesus. By faith, I will walk through the doors, God, that you will open for me this year. By faith, I want to follow and serve you no matter what the cost. I like that one. I like them all, but I like that one. By faith, I surrender my finances to you. By faith, I will work to be a spiritual leader in my family. By faith, I will put my trust in God and Jesus and ask for help in mercy. By faith, I will try my best to stay sober. By faith, I will trust you and live wholly for you. By faith, I will let go of resentment toward my family. By faith, I will give more of my time to you, God. By faith, I will study your word more and serve the church more. Those are 15 of the, I don't know how many cards are on the wall. You're welcome to stop by after church if you'd like to and read more of those. That's why we put them up there for all of us. If you weren't here Friday night and you would like to fill out a card, Pastor Adam is going to put some in the foyer at the welcome booth. And you can just take it. You can fill it out right there. You can take it home and bring it back next week. If you fill it out this morning, just put it in the box at the back of the auditorium. And we would love to have that. And we asked people to fill out two cards, one for themselves to take with them, and then one to bring forward. So if you fill one out, take two, and take one with you, and leave the other one here as a commitment to the Lord. As Pastor Adam mentioned on Friday night, we've been talking about faith. By faith, God, where am I in relationship with you, the people around me, the people that love me, the people that aren't crazy about me? By the way, do you have any people that aren't crazy about you? No, I didn't ask you if you were crazy. I said, do you have any people that aren't crazy about you? You said, well, I don't think so. Well, come ask me. I could probably give you a couple, right? But you know, the reality of it is, by faith, we can live in all situations, can't we, if we do it by faith? We can overcome. Greater is he that is in us, say it with me, than he that is in the world. Very, very good. We can by faith. Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you a comforter, and that's the Holy Spirit. And he's going to convict us of our sin. You can read this in the book of John. He's going to teach us. He's going to guide us. He's going to help us. He's going to empower us to live by faith. How are we able to live by faith? On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Praise God. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. We're reading from Luke 24, 1 through 8. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. We know they were angels. And as they were frightened and bowed down their faces to the ground, the men, the angels, said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? And verse 6 is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. For without verse 6, we have no faith. We would be like men of no hope. He is not here, but he is risen. He's alive. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man, speaking of himself, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day be raised from the dead. And verse 8 says, and they remembered his words. As we close our series this morning, the Apostle Paul likens living for God as a race. And the race that Paul is talking about, the writer of Hebrews, is a marathon. Now, a marathon is 26.2 miles. That's a long way to run, wouldn't you say amen? Now, we actually have some people in our church that run marathons. I drove one once, 26.2 miles, but I have never run one. And you know what? I can honestly say it's not in my future. That is not one of my goals, is to run 26.2 miles. In fact, I just talked to somebody the other day that did it, and I said, you try to tell me you ran 26.2 miles without stopping. Now, I could do it. I could run a marathon 1 mile a day for 26 days. I could do that. But they did it without stopping. And Paul is telling us in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, that we can run a marathon without stopping. How do we do that? Because in the Christian life, we can do that. Because of the resurrection. Because of the power of Christ when he sent the Holy Spirit. That happened after the resurrection, when he sent the Comforter. That helps us to draw closer to God, the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand that God the Father is separate from God the Son, whom is separate from God the Holy Spirit. We serve one God in three persons. And as we look at Hebrews 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. The first word in that verse says, therefore, which refers back to chapter 11. Paul here is talking about what he had just written about in the previous chapter, which you and I spent months studying these witnesses. Now, oftentimes, people have a misinterpretation of this text, and I've actually heard preachers teach this. This is not about everybody that has died and gone on before us sitting in a stadium watching us on the field. And they're looking at us, and they're going, go Jerry, go Jerry, go Jerry. That's not the context. That's not what Paul is talking about. The great cloud of witnesses, and the word witnesses, if you study it out, really can take on the form of being a martyr. But it's the people in chapter 11 that he's referring to that are with the Lord, that are witnessing to us, that we read about and learned about in chapter 11, that keep us moving forward. In other words, because you did it, I can do it. Another word for witnesses that we could kind of put in here if we wanted to, they're our role models. They are our examples. And every single one of us in our personal lives, if we give testimony this morning, spiritually, you probably or still do, had a role model. I remember as a young boy at 12 years of age coming to Christ, and I started going to this really small church. And we were so small, we didn't have a youth pastor. The pastor did it all. He cleaned the bathrooms, he preached, he did the youth group, he did everything. And he was my role model. And I used to sit there as a young boy, a preteen, and say, you know, one day, he's such a cool guy, I'd like to be like him. Never thinking that I'd be doing what I'm doing today, but he was a spiritual role model. He was my cloud of witnesses that had not gone to heaven yet. A cloud of witnesses. You know, you and I, if we live by faith and we follow the role models that we learned about in chapter 11, when we go to heaven, we're going to be part of the cloud of witnesses. Isn't that cool? Because you, because of your life, are giving examples to others so they can keep going, to keep running the race, to keep running that marathon, which is exciting. Paul says, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. An encumbrance is a bulk. It's a mass. In other words, it's weight. Now, if somebody was going to run a marathon and I put a 75-pound pack on their back, now let me ask you a silly question. Are they going to run faster or slower? So let's look at it again. Let us lay aside every encumbrance, every weight, and the sin that entangles us. Entangle us means when we're running, if our feet get tangled up, we're going to what? We're going to fall. This is the smartest group is going to be this morning, 8 o'clock. You're already the best-looking group. So what sin of entanglement and encumbrance is Paul talking about? Well, the proper interpretation, we have to look at who he's talking to. The book of Hebrews is written to what group of people? The Hebrews. And the Hebrews, we know them by another name, the Jews, the Israelites. What was the weight that they were carrying before Jesus came with salvation through grace? The law, very good. And Paul is saying to these people that had come to Christ, that you have to break away from that old teaching. Not that it was bad, there was a time for that, but we no longer worship that way. Jesus was saying, the whole book of Hebrews was written to the Jewish people to tell them that Christ now was the Passover lamb. He was the one that was sacrificed for them. He is the one that shed his blood that they might come to Christ and live for eternity. No longer did they have to sacrifice the blood of goats and bulls and birds. No longer. But it was hard for them to break away. Isn't it true, church? It's hard to break old habits. Isn't it? Very difficult. It's very difficult for people who maybe grew up in one form of Christianity to break away from that and come to the place and recognize that it's all about Jesus and not what we do. Not what we have to offer God, but it is what God offered us, and that is His Son Jesus. And the power in which we can run this race and not be tangled up is because ultimately of the resurrection of Jesus that sent His Spirit to indwell us to give us the power to carry on. Isn't that fascinating? This is good stuff. Not because I'm teaching it, because Paul wrote it, that God sent to him, which means we can live a victorious life. God never said He promised us a rose garden. The other two services won't have a clue what I'm talking about. Promise you a rose garden? What are you talking about? Well, they can Google it. But we remember the song, right? God doesn't promise us a rose garden here, but He does up there. Sometimes there's where we miss the boat. We live in a fallen, sick world. But because of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection of Jesus, in that we can still live victorious lives. Praise God. And He says, let us run with endurance. What is He talking about? A steady determination to not let anything stop us. Because of what those people did in chapter 11, and you, what your friends are doing and your family are doing that are serving God, we can continue with a steady determination to run the race that we might win the prize. Well, a couple of other things, and we're going to close this morning. In the next verse, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, that's the key. You know, over the years in dealing with people where they're no longer serving the Lord, you know where they got off track? I think you know. They took their eyes off whom? And they put them on people. They put them on circumstances. And so, unfortunately, they become discouraged. In fact, the people that Paul was writing to also were becoming discouraged. Not all of them, but some of them were. Because now they were facing persecution. They had followed this person called Jesus. And now he was gone. And now they were persecuted. In fact, they were persecuted for another 300 years or so. And some of them were weak in their faith. Have you ever been weak in your faith? I'll be honest this morning. I've been weak in my faith. You say, well, Jerry, you're the preacher. Yeah, I know. But I'm still at times weak in my faith because I'm just like you. Whatever you do during the week, I do this during the week. But guess what? If you cut me, I will bleed. And if you hit me hard enough, I will scream. That really hurts. We're all human beings. And some of them were becoming weak. They were really struggling. And Paul said, keep running. Don't quit. A few weeks ago at Wendell Calder's funeral, all of the speakers referenced, because he had this saying in one of his messages, don't quit. Don't quit. Church, we can't quit. Jesus, thank God, didn't quit on us. Amen. So by faith, if we can't say anything else, we can write on a card, I will not quit. You know who wants you to quit? Satan wants you to quit. We see in this verse, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, he is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the originator of our faith. He is the great example for our faith. As we learned Friday night, he went all the way to the cross, didn't he? And yes, he struggled. He said, Father, can we kind of pass this? I mean, is this really necessary? And then he said, not my will be done, but yours. And you know, church, that's the key to victorious living. It's not my will be done, but God, it's your will be done. Well, I want to show you a sign. If you guys could turn that for me. We have the verses next, which I've already covered, but I like this sign. And I'm going to ask the guys if they would just dim the lights, because we're going to leave them dim as we sing our last two songs. Somebody sent me this just this week. And I was kind of thinking about what could I use as kind of a picture for people to kind of... And lo and behold, out of the blue, I think Thursday, somebody sent me this. And I looked at that and I thought, wow. Jesus said, I am the way. Didn't he? One way. One way. No man comes to the Father. In other words, no one gets to heaven but by me. And I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know what you're going through. And if you take time to really study out Hebrews 12, and we only had a short time this morning, but he challenges people to run the race. He's actually talking to two groups of people. He's talking to people that are in the race, but he's also inviting others to get in the race that don't know him. So this morning, if you know him, stay in the race. Don't quit. If you don't know him, hey, join us on the marathon. You know what the word race means? It means agony. The race sometimes is tough. Amen, church? It's tough. But in the end, it'll be worth it all. How's the song go? When we see Jesus. And so we have a prayer that we use at Cross Point. And if you're not absolutely sure that heaven is your home, if you were to die today and you were to stand before God, would you be confident that heaven is your home? You say, Pastor Jerry, I really don't know. I've been coming to church here for a while, or this is my very first time. I've never heard this before. You say, Jerry, I've heard this 100 times, but for some reason this morning it's connecting. The only way we can get to God, as Jesus said, is through him. He's perfect. We are imperfect. And Jesus says, if you'll put your faith and trust in me, I will take your sin upon me, and God the Father will accept my sacrifice for your sin. But we have to make that personal. And we need to pray a prayer like this. Saying the prayer won't get you to heaven. This is a template. It's the change of heart, not words, that we say. Let's read it together. Can we do that? Jesus, I know that you are the Savior of the world who died for me on the cross. Right now, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and save my soul. Church, that right there is why the resurrection. Because the resurrection guarantees eternal life. Because Jesus came back from the dead, amen? Which means that you and I, when we die physically, do not stay in the grave. We will spend all eternity with God.